In 1883, the island of Krakatoa in the Indian Ocean blew up in a massive volcanic eruption. It was described as the most cataclysmic contortion of the Earth's crust ever known in the world. 14 miles of the ocean, of the island, excuse me, was just thrown up in the air and turned to dust. 6 months later, as far away as St. Louis, Missouri, the sky was darkened by the particles of the island of Krakatoa. When the eruption happened, it was heard 3,000 miles away. 1 year later, scientists went back to see the condition of the island. It was complete desolation, nothing except for one tiny little spider, which they believed was blown from another island. After 2 years, something magical had happened. The island had resurrected, and there were ferns and four varieties of flower, two kinds of grass. There were butterflies and ants and caterpillars and morning glory and sugar plum, mango and birds in abundance. In a few more years, the island was a tropical paradise that it had been previously, and maybe even more so. A new earth was formed on Krakatoa. And it reminds us that Mother Earth can completely regenerate herself. She has the ability to completely regenerate from absolute desolation. And this is the beauty of volcanoes, right? That volcanic ash becomes virgin soil. New earth, literally. And from that teems life, springs new life. Our earth home is in a constant process of regeneration, and so are we, because our body temple is body earth. It's one and the same, right? In Revelation 21:1, a vision begins, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." The vision is attributed to the beloved disciple that reclines on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper with his head close to Jesus' heart. And some say he wanted to be close to the heart of God. So if you use that as a metaphor, thinking about this beloved one, this one whose name means love, is visioning a new heaven and a new earth. That was the scripture that inspired Eckhart Tolle's book title, The New Earth, that you might be familiar with. And the book was with this premise, this idea that the new heaven is the emergence of a transformed state of human consciousness, and a new earth is its reflection in physical form. It's the transformation of our consciousness that is then reflected back to us on earth. So I think this helps us understand from a spiritual point of view what is happening on our earth, right? When we hear about climate change and tropical storms and all the stuff that happens on earth that we, you know, get worried about, to know, and I'm not saying those aren't, you know, real life situations to be concerned about, but that there is an underpinning, something else going on here, that there is a process of human consciousness being transformed. Tolle goes on to write, "As the old human consciousness dissolves, there are going to be synchronistic geographic and climactic upheavals on the planet." By the way, he wrote that 16 years ago. And so, and many have seen this coming much sooner, right? That this idea that a whole new revolution of human consciousness is occurring, and we are one with the earth, and earth is going to reflect back to us what is going on, and we are going to be a reflection of earth as well. So it's good to hold a vision in times of tumult, in times of change, big change, right? When things sometimes feel chaotic. Anybody ever feel any sort of chaos in the world? Right? Yeah, right? Big hands up. Yes, yes. As we celebrate Earth Week, right? It's become Earth Week now. We've become more aware, right, of the beauty and the gratitude, of the love, of the connection, and the concern. All of those things a part of a spectrum of emotion, perhaps, around this Earth and thinking about our Earth home. But when we hold to a vision, like the beautiful one that we hold here at Unity of Walnut Creek, the vision that we hold for the world, we envision a spiritually awakened world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. We know about oneness. We're all committed to our spiritual awakening. So we see it for the world. We imagine the whole world, all beings working together to awaken. And we see it already in fruition in a vision, right? Already affirmed on terra firma, already true, already manifested, already seen. A world that is spiritually awakened where all life thrives in conscious oneness. You have an image of what that looks like? Even if it's just one little piece of image, maybe there's a bunch, maybe it's a whole collage of images in your mind that feels uplifting to you, that feels possible to you, that feels like not just a probability or a possibility, but a probability or an assurity, a knowingness that this we can move into. If Krakatoa can completely regenerate itself into a tropical paradise, so too can we participate in the rebirthing and the regeneration and the renewal of all that is good in the world and in us and in all life. As we keep our hearts on the vision and we do the inner work to awaken and bring forth the manifestation, it's not necessarily like it all happens like this, right? In Krakatoa, it was a few years, maybe more sometimes. So there's a process that happens, right? In spiritual awakening, there's a process that happens. It's like you're turning over the earth, right? Things are getting kind of turned up. It's like when rivers sort of have a process where the times when they look muddy because the earth beneath it turns and then it becomes clear again. So we're in that sort of place, right? There might maybe a little bit of rapids, a little bit of turning of the mud in the river of life, but it will become clear again. It reminds me of when Brené Brown went to her therapist and said, I think I'm having a breakdown. And her therapist said, oh no, that's not what's happening here. She said, you are not having a breakdown. I know what those look like. You are having a breakthrough. A breakthrough. It's a big difference, right? So we can live in this world and hear the news and experience and see, and we can see it through the eyes of, oh no, we're all breaking down. I'm breaking down. Or we can see it through the eyes of spirit that says, oh no, this is a process. We are breaking through. We are breaking through to that new heaven, to that new earth, to that vision that we hold where conscious life is thriving in its oneness. That's what's going on here. So don't let anybody fool you that it's a breakdown. You just get right back on your spiritual horse. It can be the horse of rescue, if you wish, you know. But allow yourself to move forward and to gather up the troops around you that are on this journey of spiritual awakening in a conscious way. And recognize that as this happens, as the old human consciousness falls away, that there will be parts of us and parts of us out there that will go kicking and screaming. We see it, right? We hear it. We know it. We don't always see it within ourselves, but we see it around really easily, right? And so all of that is happening. All of that is a part of this collective overturning of the river of life. Know that it will be clarified, that the waters will run free and clear and clean once again. I vision a time when we can go out for a hike and we can just reach down and have a drink out of that river, right? Not worry about whether our water is filtered and if we have enough with us. Remember the old days when we did that? It wasn't that long ago that we drank freely from the rivers. We will do it again. We will do it again. Were you ever told as a kid that if you kept digging, you could dig a hole to China? I found that so intriguing as a kid. It would just like stop me in my tracks when I heard that and I was digging. I'd be like, oh. You know, kids are really literal. Like, wow, I could get all the way to China doing this? But it's like, what were our parents really saying? You know, on a soul level, they may not have even been aware of what they were saying. But what they were really saying, I think, is we share this earth. This is our shared home. And we are closer to one another than we think. And so we can just move through the body of earth together and be together from what seems like the other side of the world. So it's that kind of knowing. And this process of coming closer to one another and to this knowledge and to this truth that might require a little bit of digging, right, to get there. When my wife Brenly and I moved here, we found out pretty quickly, because we get busy nesting and digging in the yard and making and planting and so on. And pretty soon we found out that previous people that had owned the home didn't want the lawn maintenance for whatever reasons. I think the elderly woman lived there and she couldn't take care of it. And so her kids, thinking they were helping her out, put this heavy dark material all over the front yard and the backyard. So it looked like stuff was kind of growing on top of it. It was mostly just like weeds that had sort of found their way on top of this. So every time we want to plant something, we have to pull back, take out these rusted staples and pull back this heavy covering of earth. And when it's pulled back, what's underneath is this barren, dry, desolate land. And you can almost feel it and hear it. When you pull that back, the earth goes, and then you can kind of notice, like, there's potential here. There's life here. And time after time, we've planted, and things have just thrived. So it's kind of similar with us. You know that? That we kind of carry around with us heavy masks and costumes, don't we? And whether they be out of layers of protection that we put on for various reasons of life around us, or expectations that we've laid upon us, expectations of ourselves to be maybe someone other than ourselves, expectations perhaps that the society gave us, or our families gave us, or our churches gave us, or our schools gave us. And it's like all that layering, right? And it's like, who am I? Will the real me please stand up, right? And then we do some of this work, and that layer gets peeled back, and we go, I can breathe. It's like when I get home, and I like immediately put on what we call in our family, your soft clothes, which usually for me is PJs. And just like, you know, the jewelry comes off, the shoes get kicked off, the soft clothes come on, and it's like, yeah, that's that uncovering, right? That process that we do. The intentional practices, the intentional spiritual practices that we do can be a way of peeling back. Or things that happen in life, right? Illness or loss of relationship, loss of whatever it may be, loss of home, whatever those things are that really like peel back the layers for us, get to those wounded, vulnerable places in us. Sometimes that's how we get there. It doesn't really matter how we get there. It's just that we do, right? That there are times when we are in that place of that peeled back kind of fresh breath of spirit, looking at the potential that lies there and what will be planted there. That's a choice point for us in these moments of revelation, right? When all is revealed, we're in that choice point of what will I put there? What will I plant there? What will I seed there? What is in my mind and heart, in my authentic soul, in the spirit of my being, in my wisdom as Homo sapien, which means wise being, as I really step into the wholeness of my own wisdom as a Homo sapien even. What will I plant next? What will I co-create? So all of this can happen, right? There can be a blossoming from that space, from that peeling back to what is planted there. A blossoming of our authentic selves, reaching down to the deep roots of our divine spirit that we all share, that one spirit that we all have. And it can come forth as a fruits of whatever it is that we labor at, whatever it is that we act upon, whatever it is that we co-create. What abundance, what juicy fruits will come from that we choose to do with that. Living closer to spirit, to soul, to ourselves, to each other. All of this, though, to get to that place, might require us to get naked first. You can clap. It's okay. It's the hippy dippy church. That's what some say. In the novel, The Humans, by Matt Haig, the main character is an alien who comes to occupy the human life and body of Andrew Martin, a professor. And because he's an alien, he doesn't yet know the customs of Earth, and so he doesn't have any clothes on, and he's walking around college campus with no clothes on. And, of course, he's subjected to ridicule, and he's arrested, and, you know, the ridicule goes on for months, actually. And he makes these curious observations of humans. How interesting. They're so invested in this idea of clothing, of covering up. And, man, are they into the clothes as he begins to get exposed to television and magazines. And it's like, whoa, this is so important to them. The things they clothe themselves with, they cover themselves with. And hair is such a thing. Like how it looks and how much there is and how, you know, he's just amazed by all of this, you know? So it's a very interesting perspective from this alien perspective that we are so almost have a fetish about covering up. Then he gets injured. When he first comes in, he has all these gifts of healing, but when he decides to cut ties with his planet at home and really come in fully to human life, he loses some of those healing gifts, and so he experiences injury like the average human being. And everybody around him talks about recovery and that you will recover soon. And he's like, recover? There's such a hurry all the time to recover. Everything's about covering up. And he's just fascinated by this. And he's like, don't they know that to heal, he's just, you know, you don't recover, you don't cover, you uncover, right? You let the wound breathe. You let things have the light of day and the purity of water to heal. So this alien observation really holds the key to all of our healing, that it's not about covering up, it's not about recovery, but it's about uncovering, it's about letting go, it's about opening up, it's about peeling back and looking and to see what is there. Both what is true and the consequences of what has been untrue, right? And that we might bear witness to, and what is potentially possible to step into that truth with a capital T. When we when we uncover our history, this is one of the ways that we heal collectively. When we uncover our history together and we don't try to bury what really happened, and we don't try to quickly recover it, right, with false narratives, but we just look and bear witness to what is. And the pain that might come with that, and confront it and allow it and give it breath of life. One night, John Philip Newell gave a talk on Celtic wisdom in Ottawa, Canada. And he shared how in the Celtic tradition, the invitation for people walking that path is to see the light in one another. And he talked a lot about that. And as his talk wound down, a young Mohawk elder stood with tears in his eyes, and he said this: as I've been listening to these themes, I've been wondering where I would be tonight. I've been wondering where my people would be tonight. I've been wondering where we would be as a Western world tonight if the mission had come to us from Europe centuries ago. If that had come to us with an expectation to find the light in us. If that mission had come to us with an expectation to find the light. What truth is held in that? When we expect to find the light in one another, we are upholding the truth that is at the base of all of this. Life is sacred. Life is sacred. All life is sacred. If we really walk that truth, if we really embody that truth, if we really know that truth, there will be no oppression, there will be no slavery, there will be no war, there will be no climate change. Or the climate change that happens will just be a change that comes back into a regenerative renewal, new earth, new heaven on earth. It's that path that we are walking. It's that reason that we are all here during these times. It's that we were born for. As Jesus said, I came into this world to testify to this truth. This is the truth that we are living. These are the times that we are living in. It is not by any mistake that your soul is planted on this earth at this time because you are needed. Your soul is needed. Your spiritually awakening self is needed. Your commitment, your vow to walk this path, to stay the path, to allow yourself to do the inner work, to open up your heart and open up your mind and open up the soles of your feet, to feel the love that Mother Earth has for us, to open up the crowns of our heads and let the divine light flow through us so we can align with that truth and walk that truth and be that truth and heal this world. We can do this together. We were born to do this. We were born to come and testify to the truth of our unity teachings, to embody them, not just to hear them once in a while. Yes, not just to receive them once in a while, not just to be passive about this. This is serious work, and it's joyful work. It's playful work. It's absolutely needed work. We are on the edge of a cataclysmic eruption of earth and a new heaven and a new earth, and we can see it through. Some say, will humans be there when that new earth erupts, when that virgin soil comes forth? Will it be teeming with all kinds of life except humans? That's the million-dollar question, and I answer it with a resounding yes. Do you answer it with that kind of yes that reverberates in your being, that you know that humans can and will transform? That the old human consciousness will fall away, and that the truth of who we are will rise up in us collectively. There is so much goodness in us. We hear about the stuff. We hear about everything that's gone off the rails. We hear about all the ways that we've fallen into darkness and we've forgotten who we are and we're horrible to each other and the violence and the, you know, and we can get bogged down and downtrodden and all that stuff. And yes, it's real, but let's shake it off. Let's shake it off because that will not get us there. That will not get us to the promised land. That way of thinking, that way of being, that's the kicking and screaming stuff that's going on while the world awakens. And so we got to walk away sometimes and let them kick and scream, and we can help as much as we can help, but we got to stay the course. Stay the course. Keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts in good condition. Keep our bodies in good condition because we are needed for the haul. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how old you feel. You'll start feeling real new and real young as you step in to these spiritual teachings. Isn't it true? Unity people who really live unity, live and breathe unity, they look forever young. There is that sort of vibrant radiance, right? It's not just unity. It's the world's religions that offer us these nuggets of truth that we read about and we hear about and we talk about and we sing about. But, you know, it makes me feel good. And then I go back into life, you know? So just don't do that second part, right? Just walk out of here on sunshine and like keep walking it, right? And stuff will come along. And I'm not talking about rose-colored glasses that don't peel it back, right? And look at the pain and address the pain. And it's not that. It's not about not being real. It's about not wallowing in that stuff. It's not letting it weigh us down. Not letting it break. Let us break our hearts, but break them open, right? So more light, more love, more truth can be known through us. I have no idea what this was all about here. You know, the same root of the word sacred, this idea that life is sacred, that all life is sacred, is sacrilege. And sacrilege just means to commit a wrong to something we hold sacred, right? What we hold sacred, life. When we hold sacred, it's respect, it's honor, right? So we honor life, we honor animals and plants, we honor each other, we honor earth, we honor spirit, we honor the soul and all of this, parts of life that we honor. And when we consider all of that sacred and we commit a wrong, it's sacrilege, right? So when we peel back those layers and we look at our history, we uncover our history, we just see the sacrilege. And we go, oh, I can't fix it necessarily. We can't go back and undo history necessarily, but we can do what's right now. We can address it. We don't want to cover it up and pretend like it never happened. What a disservice. What a salt in the wound that is when we don't say slavery happened and it was wrong. And there are all kinds of emanations of that are still happening. And it's not okay. It's not okay that black and brown bodies are shot. It's not okay. We stand up in that. We say it's not okay, right? We say it's not okay that lands were taken, that genocide was committed, that war is going on, that Ukraine is being invaded. It's not okay. We're not okay with that. We see it. We bear witness to the pain. But we don't get lost in it. Then we go, what can I do? How can I meet that? How can I help what is going on with my human family? What is going on on my earth home? What is mine to do? Spirit will tell you every day, every minute of the day, if you open to that. As we open to that, we become more attuned and more attuned and more attuned. And then every moment of the day is a prayer. Every moment of the day, every action in the world is feet on our prayers. It's a listening and an acting, a listening and an acting. That's all we have to do. Putting our ear to Mother Earth. What do you need? How can I help? Putting an ear to our own hearts, our own bodies. What do you need? How can I help? To our beloveds, resting upon their chest, listening to their hearts. What do you need? How can I help? And it is in that, allowing ourselves to serve in such a way that we get energized. You know you're doing the right form of service when it gives you energy, right? When it sparks your creativity, when it drains you, when it makes you feel burdened, well, maybe then you're doing too much or you're on a track that isn't giving you life. And so there's that, then let me honor me. Let me honor my sacred temple. Let me honor this life. So let's, you know, when we uncover these places, these wounds, there's a wonderful practice that comes in. It made me think of it when I heard the Hawaiian chanting, that of self-identity, Ho'oponopono, which came from originally way back, but there was a teacher who brought it to everyone, who brought these sacred Hawaiian teachings to everyone. Her name was Kuhuna Morna, I didn't practice this, Nalamaku Simeona. And she brought forth the teachings that then got kind of distilled into four sentences. Self-identity, ho'oponopono, is I'm sorry, or I apologize, is the first sentence. And then, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And thank you. And I love you. That's it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. We have a rock garden with those. If you forget them, they're right out there. Or right over there. Right over there. They've been moved. Yeah. And so it's that that is what we say to the divine. But it's the divine in the many forms that the divine shows up, right? So we can say that to the earth. We can say that to our own bodies. We can say that to other people in our lives that maybe we feel we have hurt or wronged in some way. We can say it collectively, right? To all the non-white bodies, all the transgender and female bodies. We can say it to the indigenous peoples. We can say it to the animals. We can say it to the plant kingdom. We can say it wherever we feel earnestly guided to do the work of release and forgiveness and gratitude and love. Simple and powerful. But let's not forget to breathe as we awaken, right? Let's not forget to keep breathing, right? Reminding myself right at this moment, breathe, yeah, breathe. Because it is in that breath of spirit that the wise being in us, the Homo sapien that we are, awakens. And it is through that that we are given the strength and the resilience to look, to bear witness, and to move then in the direction that we are guided to move, to restore, to bring forth the new heaven, the new earth. And you know, that breath of spirit, that ha, that's actually got this this biblical root of when God gave Sarah and Abram, our Hebrew ancestors, new names. Sarah got an H on the end of her name to represent the breath of spirit, ha. And Abram became Abraham. And so there is that knowing that, yeah, the divinity is in me. The breath is in me. Every moment that I walk upon this earth, it is the breath of spirit moving through me. Ha is also a signifier of laughter, right? Ha, 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 right? So not forgetting that, the joy, the laughter, the medicine that is laughter, because we can get pretty serious about all this stuff. I know I can get pretty intense about it all, you know? And it's good to remember to laugh, to dance, to move, to open up, to release, to let go, to allow ourselves to be light and free and heal in that way. Laughter is one of the ways that gets us there. We are dancing with life upon this earth. So let's be light on our feet and light in our hearts and open in our minds and give space for the divine to move through us. Give space for Mother Earth to give her wisdom through us and allow whatever wants to grow to grow. We don't have to worry as much about Mother Earth. I mean, we're supposed to care for her. We're supposed to be good stewards of her. And yes, we will do that, right? We will naturally do that as we step more and more into the truth of who we are. It just becomes more and more natural to be conscious beings in how we treat Mother Earth. But the Earth herself will regenerate herself. We know this, right? Krakatoa is one example. So the question that we're all living with is this idea of the humans. And so yes, 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 we will be here. We will step into our namesake, Homo sapiens, wise beings. And in order to do so, we need to vow to ourselves, to take a few vows, to expect to see the light in one another, to see the light in one another wherever we go and whoever we're going to meet, that we have an expectation of that. To not create these little islands of people who we call other, but expect to just have the breath of spirit move through all of us as one. To keep evolving in our ingenuity, because we are ingenious beings, don't you think? Some of the things that people create, this renewable energy stuff and all these wonderful things that are being created to help us maintain life, human life on Earth. It's an explosion of ingenuity and creativity that's out there. We don't always hear those stories, but they are abundant. There's a plethora of ingenuity going on. And to express more of our divinity, to always and continuously express more of our divinity. The time has come. The time has come to bring forth the new heaven on the new earth, to bring forth heaven on earth. And we can do this, right? We will do this. Together, we will do this by uncovering that bare truth, by breathing and healing and planting new life. Let's say it together. I uncover the bare truth, breathe, heal, and plant new life. So it is.